and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm Charlotte Kniep. And I think it's safe to say that everyone wants to experience happiness in a romantic relationship. But there are certain things that have to happen in order to be able to fully commit to someone or to prepare yourself to commit to someone. Now, commitment might seem like a really scary word to some people because it can evoke feelings of anxiety and perfectionism. But we have Alisa Goodwin-Snell here with us today to talk about how to overcome these negative thoughts and emotions and behaviors in order to be able to find lasting peace and security within yourself and in your relationships. And Alisa is a former marriage counselor and is currently a dating and relationship coach here in Utah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So when you hear of a relationship between two great people coming to a close, I think it's really easy to make judgments about why things didn't work out for them. Maybe they couldn't commit, or we say, oh, they were too picky, or they weren't open and vulnerable enough with each other. How much truth is there to that theory?
I think that's all true. Yeah. It's hard because if it was so easy to solve, people would have solved it already. I work with so many great singles who are very conscientious. They're educated. They really try to do the right things. They're have a high level of self-control. They care about their partners. And if it was so easy to figure out why they're struggling to commit, they would just figure it out.
Right.
It's not that easy. And a lot of times I refer to this as the anxious and the avoidant attachment pattern. Or I also call it the you're amazing and still single pattern. Mm-hmm. You know,
and there's a lot
because
of those people.
There's this dynamic where we swing in these relationships where one person tends to be more anxious. And to better describe that, it's more like they're consumed or concerned about whether or not they can get and keep the relationship. And they're focused on trying to get and keep the relationship, and they know they want this relationship, and they think and act in an anxious way in the relationship, whether it's through suffering in silence and doing all the right things, mm-hmm. or it's through pursuing behaviors where they're pursuing calling, having to find the relationship conversations, focusing on commitment. That's the anxious side of things.
Okay.
And then we have on the other side, we have the avoidant, and this is the one that's probably the most confusing to understand, because the person who has more of an avoidant attachment isn't feeling strong emotions, and they don't know why. They want to feel strong emotions. They want to feel connected. They know they're with a great person. Everybody tells them that they should be able to work this out. They go through the motions. They do what they think they should be doing, but they don't feel the strong emotions they think they should be feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And they suffer in that way over a period of time until finally it just feels like more of a relief to end the relationship because they can't solve it. They can't make themselves feel something. And then once they break up, a couple weeks later, the attachment comes back.
They miss
and
them.
They miss yeah. them, but initially there was such a feeling of relief that they were able to get out of this terrible anxiety and turmoil that they were feeling. So often it's easy to criticize those who avoid an attachment because we think they should just get it together. What's wrong with you?
Right.
Why can't you just commit? But they don't really know why they're not feeling the things that they think they should be feeling. And so it's confusing for them as well.
And I think in a faith-based relationship, too, where both people are religious or Christian mm-hmm. or LDS, we're taught to kind of follow the feelings of our heart and trust our intuition and trust things like that. And that's not bad advice necessarily, but I've seen, I guess, in my own life and in friends' lives that people take that a little bit to letter of the law than spirit of the law, because anxiety, if I'm understanding you correctly, is just sort of a natural part of some people's lives, and it's how they react to new situations, especially with other people.
Well, and anxiety can also create distressing, unwanted thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I did an article a while ago on I'm anxious, so let's break up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and part of that article was based on how do I know the difference between this as being anxiety and this is the spirit?
Right.
Right. So if I have this random thought and I'm in the temple with someone or I've just had a lot of fun and the relationship's going great, and all of a sudden I have this thought of, oh, she's not the one for you,
mm-hmm.
or you shouldn't marry her. If I have this random thought, I could think that it's the spirit.
Right.
How do I tell the difference between when it's just anxiety and the fact that anxiety can create distressing, unwanted thoughts? How do I tell that difference? And so I feel like I'm defying the spirit by continuing to date this person. And then every time something goes wrong, I keep thinking that's the spirit telling me that this relationship isn't right.
Right.
It's a confusing process. Part of the struggle of what a lot of single struggle with is thinking errors, and they don't know that they're engaging in thinking errors. And our society, unfortunately, supports these thinking errors. And so they give a lot of credibility to things that are really taking them in the wrong direction and are actually feeding their anxiety and feeding their disconnection instead of helping them to create more connection.
And it seems like you mentioned society, but I think specifically in that social media can have a huge effect. It had a huge effect on me when I was dating my husband that, you know, if things aren't picture perfect, if you're not getting flowers on a weekly basis, if you're not laughing and giggling and feeling butterflies all the time, then this must not be the right perfect relationship for you. And I think men and women can kind of feed into that and say, well, if these things aren't happening, then this I need to leave
the
situation.
I refer to that thinking error as perfectionism. So there's a variety of different thinking errors that feed into this. And there's perfectionism, dating the best. There's a feeling of projection or personalization where my partner's strengths are a reflection on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to date the best. I want to be the best, because if I date the best and I am the best, then it looks good on me. So if my partner has a weakness or an issue, it also reflects on me.
Mm.
So if my partner struggles with anxiety or depression or has had some pornography issues in the past, it seems like it's a reflection on me, and I take it personally, and that's a thinking error. There's a variety of different things that create more anxiety. I refer to it as the four things that drive both an anxious and an avoidant attachment.
Mm.
The first of those is anxiety. So having an underlying anxiety that you don't understand and the role that it's playing in your relationships and in your thinking and how it can contribute to your brain locking in on specific issues. The second thing is common thinking errors, that when we engage in common thinking errors, not only does it increase our anxiety, but it also increases our feelings of either neediness, desperation, clinginess, our desire and need for the relationship, because we can't imagine losing this person who seems so great and we feel unworthy of that person. Thinking errors make us feel like we're less than and that the other person is better than us. The third is pressure. And a lot of singles put themselves under a lot of pressure to make decisions really quickly. They're on a first date and they're thinking about whether or not this is a marriage potential when they haven't even discovered if we're compatible. Am I safe? So there's four basic questions I have all of my clients go through. Am I safe? Am I compatible? Are we compatible? Do we have a secure attachment? And can we solve problems as a couple?
Mm-hmm.
And they're jumping on a first date all the way to whether or not they could live with this quality or this trait that the person has for the rest of their life.
Right.
And I want them to slow down and enjoy the moment and treat it as a stage by stage process. And when they stay in the moment and the focus on just the skills that are required for that stage, they can connect. But when they think beyond the stage they're in, they're going to disconnect or they're going to get really anxious. And then the fourth thing is situational triggers. And what are the core fears underneath the situational triggers? So when I'm on a date and somebody talks about something and I feel a little put off by that, it's easy for me to just focus in on that characteristic or trait that was unattractive instead of identifying the core fear that was underneath it.
Mm.
If we could address the core fear, we could overcome that situational trigger together. But when all I do is focus in on, you know, and I've had clients who they'll focus in on that he's losing his hair, or they'll focus in on some spiritual practice that they feel like the person did that wasn't right enough. They focus in on that and they brain lock on that, where they lose perspective of the bigger picture because they're so focused in on one thing. If we can talk to the fear, address the fear and help them to see that there's ways to overcome the fear and that they can combat that fear with faith, they can start to see that there's a lot more solutions and they can start utilizing their faith to move forward.
That is some really great advice. And for our listeners who may be in a relationship, preparing to be in a relationship, maybe they're struggling with anxiety or avoidance and they don't know it yet. I know I definitely didn't realize that it was anxiety I was struggling with. Can you just talk about maybe the different ways that anxiety can manifest itself so people can kind of do a self-check, or different ways avoidance can manifest itself?
Well, so for anxiety, you'll be thinking about the person all the time. Your day will be affected by whether or not they call you, they text you. You'll be reading into every text a hidden meaning. What does this mean? You might be thinking about your relationship, processing it, talking with friends and family, trying to, you know, read books and come up with all the perfect ways to handle every situation. You may struggle with expressing your feelings and needs out of fear that if I express my feelings and needs, they're going to walk away, or they're going to, I'm going to lose them. You know, I don't want to turn them off. The problem with that thinking is the more deeply you sacrifice, the more deeply you love. So if I don't express my feelings and needs and I don't give them a chance to sacrifice in the relationship, they're not going to love me more. So I'm actually sabotaging the depth of the relationship because I'm so afraid that I don't talk. The other way that it might manifest, so I refer to that anxious attachment pattern as perfectionism.
Right.
When I'm suffering in silence, I'm doing the perfectionistic approach of trying to do everything perfect, and that's the way I'm managing my anxious attachment. The other side is to nag, complain, criticize, pursue, call all the time, text all the time, pursue the person all the time. That can often, of course, drive the other person to be more avoidant because they feel like they're failing in the relationship. So we want to break both sides of that cycle and help the person to feel more secure. So the way I help take someone who is anxiously attached and break that pattern is building faith in themselves, faith in what they have to offer, looking at themselves and realizing, I'm great. I have so much to offer. And the kind of person I'm looking for will see me for what I have to offer, and they will invest in me, and they will respond to me, and they will participate, and they will sacrifice. So I take the fears that they have that are driving the anxious attachment, and I take the anxiety and the thinking errors. We try to break that down and replace it with faith, faith in themselves, faith in their future, faith in the opposite sex, faith in God, and change their behaviors. If they start acting more secure, they're going to feel more secure. On the avoidance side, what does someone do who has avoidance? If they have a perfectionistic approach, they try to do everything right. They go through the motions. They do everything they think they're supposed to be doing, but they're not feeling emotions. And this speaks back to what you said before about vulnerability. They oftentimes don't get vulnerable. They don't share with the other person what they're thinking or they're struggling with. They don't talk. They don't address the issues that are causing them problems. And instead, they become more passive. So they disengage and they do the bare minimum and they keep going through the motions. And then they keep wondering, why I don't feel strong emotions. Vulnerability increases the emotional connection. Until you're vulnerable, you're not going to feel more of a connection. Secondly, passive equals passionless. The more passive they become, the more passionless they're going to feel. So the solution is they have to be active and take chances and engage and be more vulnerable for them to feel the emotions that they think that they want to feel. When we're looking at creating a secure attachment, there's three things that the person needs to do. They need to be available. They need to be responsive, meaning that they make themselves available to their partner, but they also respond to their partner's needs, and they need to be emotionally engaged. And this is what the avoidant person isn't doing. They're not being truly emotionally engaged, and they're not going to have a secure attachment until they become more emotionally engaged. So oftentimes they're afraid of getting trapped. They're afraid of being stuck. They're afraid of being passionless in a relationship. They're afraid of being miserable. What if I'm not attracted enough? What if it's going to affect our sexual relationship down the road? What if we're all going to be miserable? And so they're so afraid of making decisions that they act passive, and it perpetuates the whole process again.
Mm-hmm.
So the second part of the avoidant attachment is they just withdraw or run. They just get out of Dodge. And that oftentimes is a pattern that I see over and over and over again, where they can't even get 2 or 3 months into a relationship before they're out again. So I try to help them break it down into every single stage. What are the skills they need to do for every stage to help them stay emotionally engaged and create as much of a connection as they can?
Talking about how avoidant people tend to just sort of not make a decision. They're very passive. That made me think of Elder Bednar's talk from conference several years ago. And he said, not making a decision is making a decision.
It is.
But it's making a decision to not progress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's wonderful advice that anyone can hear. Single, in a relationship, hoping to be in a relationship.
Marriage is God's university for making us more like Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our flaws and imperfections and working through that together and relying on Him that makes us more like Him. Fear is the opposite of faith. And it's not courage if you're not afraid, and it's not faith if there's not imperfection. So I want people to make good choices and to know that they've got a good situation. But once they have a good situation, move forward with faith, because all of this fear and anxiety is only holding you back, and it adds to the anxiety you're experiencing.
Yeah, perfectionism is definitely the thief of joy and
progress
and a happy life. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks.
All right. So if you are looking for more information on how to strengthen your relationships or prepare yourself for commitment, visit MormonChannel.org for some great podcasts, blog posts, and videos to help with that. And we're going to close our episode today with a quote from Melissa Howell, who wrote a 2006 Ensign article entitled The Courage to Marry. And in it, she said, quote, "By relying on the Lord, many people have found that while their relationship fears may not be entirely eradicated, Heavenly Father will assist them in creating a happy marriage." Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.